Okay, we can go for the next talk.
So my talk's a shell script, I'm sorry. Should we play a game? It requires audience participation, so I hate that too, but I thought I'd be really... So let's have a look. Is this a networking commit to FreeBSD? Yes or no? Easy question. Is it a networking commit? Shout.
Yes.
Okay, everyone says yes. Is this a networking commit?
No?
Okay. Is this a networking commit? Like, I know the top's truncated, but is it? It's a great commit. You should go and read it, but no. Is this a networking commit? No. This? Probably not. Nah. Nah. No. Is this a networking commit? I don't think so. Is this a networking commit? It's got fibs in it. That's a networking thing. Is it? Does it matter? If we're talking about the networking stack, should we highlight this? It's hard to say. I'm going to say no. I don't think this is either. It doesn't have any magic words in it. Is this a networking commit? Yeah, super easy. Is this a networking commit? No? Wow, let's see. So, you know, we've looked at 12 commits now very quickly, but 12 commits. And FreeBSD commits have a nice format, mostly, where we get an area highlighted. So this is NVMe control, like straightforward. We get a subject line, and then we get a body that says some things. This body uses the word TCP, which makes us all think it's networking, but it says NVMe, so we're like, oh no. Is NFS a networking system? Yeah, so this is probably, so this is NVMe over TCP, so this is probably a networking commit, so we can talk about that. So yeah, we can take it. I started with a demo, but the demo is a for loop, so it's not as impressive as Emil's. It's just a shell script. It gives us how many commits there have been in the last window, how many we've taken, how many we've rejected. If I just press enter, it will take it, because there's quite a lot of networking commits. Do you think this is a networking commit? If you saw it without seeing the previous commit, would you think it would have networking impact? It's still Chelsea, though, but they might do other stuff. It's a guess. I'll take it. I don't think this is a networking commit. I don't think this is, but NVList, is this a networking commit?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Yeah, Christoph did it. He doesn't do anything else. We'll definitely take that. So there's quite a lot going on. In any given week of FreeBSD, there's 1 to 200 commits coming through. And this chart is a summary of the reports I've done for the end of last year. But I made up the chart just based on numbers. It's not particularly accurate because I'm doing Unicode art here. But yeah, like in any given week, there's 1 to 200 commits across a dozen or so specializations. And they get very, very, very in-depth very quickly to the point where there's a couple of people in the world which could reason about what is happening here. You know, we're lucky. We have a big tree, and we've got a lot of consumers. And FreeBSD committers are automatically subscribed to the FreeBSD source commits list. So some people find out they have a commit bit because they get 300 emails overnight, and they're like, what the hell is going on? But other than, you know, a very special set of people on the internet, no one person can reason about this. Yeah, there's some people in FreeBSD, but anyone reading the commit mail is already not the audience that needs the commit mail explained to them. They've already stepped outside of this. And so few people can take this on, like very directly. I think it would be great if there was regular news about FreeBSD development. As a project, we do quite well on documentation. Our man pages, I think, are better than anywhere else. I'd struggle to think of a man page I've read which wasn't a FreeBSD one that I really liked. But you know, I'd like man pages. The handbook's pretty good. We've got reasonable tutorial stuff online, but we don't talk about what we do. We're really poor at communicating what's going on.
Status reports?
Yeah. So in the last few years, there've been some efforts towards this. Mike Carroll was helping with release notes, and he was assembling more stuff, and it was doing well. Very sadly, he passed away last year. We've been doing status reports, but I've read all of the status reports, and they're very hard to digest, and they're not immediately tied to things. And I don't see coverage of them. I don't see anyone care. And for other things, you do see people care. And I had this idea a long time ago that, you know, LWN exists. LWN is an amazing thing. And if you want to talk about advocacy for an open source project, LWN is just above. They write really high quality technical documentation based on active development. It's, for a long time when I was in academia, it was a first stop before reading a paper, because there'd be a paper at a conference for some change, but LWM would give you an approachable explainer for what was going on. And they're really great for documentation like that. And they can do this because they have money. LWN costs money to read every month, but some big companies pay for open source maintainers to get it. But they pay their staff. They're paying writers. They're paying probably a staff pool of 20 to 30 people, and they maybe have 8 to 10 contributors for each issue of LWN. And so yeah, there's money here. And you know, we're a smaller project. We don't have this big cachet. We don't have as much going on. There's definitely not enough activity to keep 10 people contributing freelance articles. And I wanted to see if we could make a semi-automated approach to summarizing development in FreeBSD. Can we break down the problem a bit and get a technical writer, so a technical person, but not a subject matter expert, to ingest this firehose commit log, speak to people, and give us something useful on the other side? Can we reduce the expert burden on the knowledge so we can communicate what we're doing in our projects better? And I want there to be more writing about FreeBSD. I've been doing this for a very long time now, which is kind of sad to say. I think I came to FuzzDev the first time 9 years ago. Since then, I've written a ton of several papers where I never managed to get anything really focused on FreeBSD because I worked in networking. But you know, we very frequently use FreeBSD as a platform. And we get to, you know, in a paper, you get to use a wonderful justification of why you picked this. And you just get to say, the authors knew it, and that's why you did it. So I got to push FreeBSD into more places. I did more FreeBSD through the ITF. I've written far too many presentations. That's why I just wrote a shell script, because I'm sick of a keynote. And I put our writing in other places. So I've kept a blog. I was too scared to see when I first started writing about FreeBSD, but it's probably a long time ago. And I put out commercial articles, places you've read, big magazines, and I'm an editor in the FreeBSD Journal, which is a magazine with the word journal in the title to confuse academics into submitting, which works really well. And so I want there to be more about FreeBSD. And twice a month, for some reason, I sit down with Benedict Rochling and we record BSD Now, and we talk about BSD, and most of what we talk about is based on what other people have written. And if you stop writing, we don't have a podcast anymore, and I'll get those hours of my life back. And nobody wants that. They want to keep the podcast going. There's no place right now for what's going on in FreeBSD. There is a great place for what's going on in OpenBSD. Undeadly.org is an amazing resource. It was a big draw to me as a nerdy teenager wanting to just read more and not necessarily having the technical chops to do development. I could read Undeadly.org and I could see, you know, the technical articles would go by, and I didn't know how to pronounce WX or X, let alone know what it meant. But I could read about hackathons and how they progressed the project, and I could see ways in. And that came from relatable writing about the project and the things that are happening. So we need more of this, and we need some way through. I did this off my own back. I'm a staff software engineer at the FreeBSD Foundation. They give me latitude just to do stuff, and so I just did stuff. And I thought it would be fun to write some shell scripts, because shell scripts are just the best thing in the world. Put out some reports, because if you ask for opinions, you're just going to get mired and locked down in what other people want from something. They will dream the biggest thing in the world, and that will slow down the momentum here, and it will stop things. I want to push this out somewhere really easy, so I put it on my blog, which is the easiest place I could put anything, which is also a tangle of shell scripts, which is just perfect. And then through some growth hacking techniques, solicit feedback from the community about what's good, what's bad, where things should go. So I wrote a shell script. You've now seen the shell script. It's very simple. It generates a list of commits to review. It uses the magic of Git log to do commits from last week until now, which anyone who's seen it off by 1 hour is like, you're going to miss stuff there if you don't do this exactly the same time. It doesn't matter. If I miss stuff, it's fine. It shouldn't slow down the momentum. We want to get stuff out, and we don't want to get locked behind the barrier of perfection, because that will just stop us doing things. And it's much better to have anything in the world than nothing in the world, but it'd be really, really good. It's just on your computer. I made an interface to go through the commits so I could take them and reject them. It's one shot, so if I hit enter too quickly, I get a commit, which is fine. I'm a human. I'll just remove it later. And if I hit no, it's gone, and I don't cover it. And hopefully it was in a series that I will catch, or someone will tell me I missed it, and I can go back and talk about it. It keeps a log of the items which go into each bucket, but that's just so that I could make a plot like I did at the start here. It's so I can, you know, think about trends in the future with some supporting numbers. I didn't know before starting this how many commits there would be in a week of FreeBSD, let alone a year, and so that was good. I templated the final report. Templating the report gives you something repeatable, and automating this gives you like a nicer, consistent document. And consistency is a real benefit for anything because it helps the reader. For a technical material, if the reader knows what to expect next, they won't be surprised. They'll know how to skip through the boring stuff they don't want, but they'll also know the cues in the writing that will help them read. And it's a really good way to get better understanding from something. So each Friday, I was streaming this, but it proved too hard. I do git pull, and I run a shell script. And then I do some other stuff. I was streaming this, but it conflicted with having a six-month-old. And while I can write a report, I can't write a report and talk about it without sounding like an absolutely crazy person when I've had no more than 2 hours sleep at a time for 3 weeks. So I had to put it that way. Maybe we'll try again in the future. The report generates a file with a header. The header consists of goings-on in FreeBSD because I like the English turn of phrase. I don't know how well this translates outside of English. It cats a file I keep just in the directory for this called notes, where I've assembled stuff that isn't going to appear in the commit log. So a good example of this is the stab, the stabilization week reminders that Gleb has been running, where they pull part of the FreeBSD tree and they try and just test it in production for Netflix and other places. And they land in the FreeBSD source mailing list, but they're not commits, so they don't appear in Git. So they just sort of disappear. It outputs the section headers, so I remember what the section headers are called. So you, when you read this, you can look in the section you looked in before if you want to know what happened in wireless. And it puts a footer in, and the footer has two things. It says, please send me an email now. I want to know this is good. And it thanks the FreeBSD Foundation for giving me the time to do this. I get this log, and I get a list of 20 to a couple hundred commits for this one time. And I have to rearrange it into logical groups that would make sense to discuss and make sense for a reader to understand. I've now been trimming out some of the stuff which is just going to fall in the bucket of some boxes, some bug fixes, updates, and improvements, because it's a bit tedious, but it's also good to see. By rearranging these, the order gets thrown away. But if you want to know the order things happened in, you have the Git log. You can just go pull this, so I just don't worry about it. And I add commentary as best as I can, with the desire to do things quickly first and accurately second, because there's just nothing better in the world than saying something wrong to get the right answer. I publish the easiest place I can. I publish somewhere easy so I could because I could publish somewhere quickly. And so it goes on my blog. A part of it going on my blog means that nobody else has to check over this because it just goes out and you can't stop me blogging. If it went out through the FreeBSD Foundation, I think things would get a bit more mired. They would probably want to have a run over and they would then not give me the freedom just to do this whenever I wanted to do it. This just gives me the speed to get the writing out there. And then I solicit feedback. So I send emails to FreeBSD Net, FreeBSD Current. Net because that's where networking things happen. Current because that's where people should be reading if they care about what's going on in Current. I put it on the Fediverse. I drop it into places that will not complain if I post my blog frequently. I think I'm syndicated on some planets, but they'll now just all say FreeBSD Network stack, status report on them, which helps no one at all. I just try and get comments. So I started doing this, I think, in September 2024. It was week 39. The week numbers are dictated by the date command with the V, capital V flag. If you have an argument, you can argue with ISO rather than me. I don't mind. I did 12 through the end of 2024, and I stopped on week 50 because we were traveling for the winter break. And so I just wasn't going to have time to sit down and read a ton of stuff. I picked them up again the third week of January. And I did a mega catch-up report in between, which covered just under 800 commits, and it was horrible. It took like 4 hours to digest all of these. And I could feel myself getting tired writing this, just going, it's just fixes. It doesn't mean anything. And so I could see what would happen if someone else tried this who didn't have any knowledge or intuition about how stuff works in FreeBSD. I'd done two more reports. I did one yesterday. I thought it was good. I've had some great outcomes from this. You should buy Christoph a beer. He left, so. He's having a beer. You should buy him a beer. Christoph is consistently committing a series of improvements to PF, which is, I find, astounding. It's funded by Netgate, and you can see this continuous work going into improving this firewall. It's really good. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback. I've asked for feedback, and this really helped. Caleb Sasser, the CEO of Panic Inc., they make Mac software, he gave a talk at the last XOXO conference last year, where one of those messages from this was, send a nice email. If you see someone doing something you appreciate, or you want to happen again, or has helped you, you should just thank them. It's, you know, four words, like, thanks for that post, and that helps wonders. Most of us are sitting at home by ourselves, and we never really speak to anyone, and we get bugs, but just putting out some positive feedback to the world makes everything much better, because you can't come to a conference every week, but you can just get an email from someone who's gotten some benefit from the stuff you do. I've gotten a really strong sense of what's going on in the FreeBSD project from doing this. And, you know, I said that FreeBSD committers get source emails. I read them. Sometimes I didn't read them for 6 months at a time, but I would read them like cursorily, like not particularly in depth. Now I'm reading them in depth because I have to categorize them, and I'm getting a lot of value from this just to know what's happening. And hopefully I'm distilling that out. I learned about the Intel driver modernization that Kevin Bowling was doing, which I think I would have missed. I would have been like, it's just some numbers, like, skip that. But now I get to refer people to talk, you know, if people with bugs, I get to say, well, you could try FreeBSD Current because it has the new things in it. You should try and do that. I got a great sense for the continual work that goes into the FreeBSD TCP stack. And I sit on the FreeBSD transport call every 2 weeks. I should know what's going on. But actually, I got a much better idea of just the small changes that are going. Cool, I'm really done, actually. I got a great sense of the small changes which are constantly going into the TCP stack because it's working on really complex code. I got a much better idea of how many changes to FreeBSD are just continuous stuff. There are a bunch of committers who are just fixing typos, which seems, you know, not the highest value work. But actually, it's increasing the code quality. They're going through and they're reading things. So we actually get to know the code has been read if somebody comes and adds or removes an apostrophe somewhere. That has been looked at in the last 10 years. And for large parts of our code base, it's 4 years old and no one's looked at it sometimes. But they also find small changes and fixes, and it's just this constant cycle. We don't get, you know, four major releases a year the way the Linux kernel does, where you have to figure out what all the features are. We don't see stuff coming as much necessarily because no one is doing media coverage on Fabricator and the stuff coming in. I don't think FreeBSD developers would want media coverage on stuff in Fabricator in the way they do in the Linux kernel. But we get to see the, you know, from looking at this, you get to see the continuous work that goes through and how much better things get. You know, BSD is dying is a very old meme now, but it's definitely not dying if you look at the commit log. It's just continually moving forwards. Doing the selection process to bucket things into networking or I don't care highlighted a ton of stuff I really cared about, which wasn't networking. So that truncated post by Kirk, where, you know, he's doing a fix for UFS1 file systems so the date stamps will work in 2038, which is Kirk's 84th birthday. Write a card now. And I don't know if I would necessarily have seen that. I would have been like, that's a big commit message, move on. But instead I read it, and it's really nice just to see that come through. There's great value there. So I said I want there to be more FreeBSD content. There's a podcast to fill. RE needs release notes, so people need to write more stuff. And so I want to ask everyone here to write more. You should just write, like, anything. The scale doesn't matter. It maybe needs to be more than one sentence to have value, but it might be a really funny sentence. Like, you might really hit the mark there. You should write where you can first, and we can figure out other places for you to write in the future. I'm on the editorial board of the FreeBSD Journal, which is a magazine about FreeBSD. And we moved to quarterly, but we're always after contributors, and we want new contributors as much as we want continuing contributors, because it's quite a burden. We ask for people to write, you know, reasonably long technical articles. But yeah, if you want to write more and you don't have a venue, I'll help you find one. Setting up a blog is easy, but I can also help you with that. You can also write for the foundation. I don't think there's any organization in the world which would say they've got too many good technical writers. Most places say it's impossible to find a technical writer who can deliver stuff. And so you should write stuff to get to the point where you could be a good technical writer. It'll make everything you do better. And you should write for other places. I spoke to a journalist from a French Linux magazine today, which I didn't know existed. How cool is that? So you need to write to other places. Oh, there he is. The VPP work I did, which was funded by ArgyNets and the FreeBSD Foundation, we pushed really hard to get it into as many venues as possible. And this led to someone at a conference in December saying to me, I know your name because of the VPP work. They did not have any context for FreeBSD, but we got the word out of there, and we spread a lot more awareness about the project. That's all I have. Thank you very much for listening. Please go write stuff. Five minutes.
Just a comment. I listened to this. I think we in NetBC we should do a lot more of this, because I feel like we're suffering from lower mindshare than say FreeBSD, and part of it is that nobody writes about.
Yeah. So the comment was, in NetBSD we should do more of this. We're suffering from lower mindshare than other projects, and I think you're right. Undeadly.org is. And the artwork are the best bits of advertising in the BSD world. OpenBSD has got this massive cachet well outside of its user base compared to FreeBSD, and it's because they are frank about what they do, they're a bit mean to people, and they have great artwork, and they do really well just stimulating interest. Okay, thank you.